Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show, and I'm your host, Virginia Ashbury. Tonight on Life Rattle number 1301, we feature three stories from Tamara Chandon. Tamara Chandon grew up in Toronto with her parents and two older brothers. She went to an arts high school where she majored in drama, then decided to attend the University of Guelph to study zoology. Chandon tells us that after realizing that zoology would be a boring and tedious death sentence, she dropped out of science and moved on to theater school at the University of Toronto's joint program with Sheridan College. Once theater school finished, Chandon tacked on a professional writing major to her degree. Chandon then published her first book titled Freezer Cats, which tells the story of a year she spent working as a veterinary assistant at an animal hospital. The stories on tonight's show are from that book. So please be advised that many of the stories on Life Rattle contain language and situations that some people may find offensive. And you're listening to Life Rattle from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Let's listen now as Tamara Chandon reads tonight's first story titled Scrubs.
Scrubs by Tamara Chandon. Large, large, extra large, large. Neon yellow, white with cartoon toothbrushes, neon green, black. Ma, help me. I dragged hangers from one end of the rack to the other. My mother poked around in a rack of no wrinkle, no iron, white button-down shirts. We were the only customers in Mark's work warehouse. What? Ma squinted at the label on a shirt. Just pick something and try it on. My new job started the next day. I needed cool scrub so I could make a good impression as the new veterinary assistant at the Elmbrook Emergency Animal Hospital. I needed cool scrubs that would make me look as awesome as everyone on ER and Grey's Anatomy. I pictured myself looking sexy and official, helping dogs and cats and making a difference in the world. I yanked an enormous black scrub top off the rack. I held it against my tiny 5'4" frame. The fabric drooped past my knees. Ma, would you please look at this? Ma glanced up from the shirt in her hands and snorted. What size is that? It's a small. No, it isn't. Ma sighed and shuffled across the maroon carpet over to me. She checked the tag. Small. Well, maybe you should try it on. I dropped the hanger back onto the rack with the other scrubs. No. I whisked more hangers out of my way. I can't go to my first day of work looking like a kid wearing her daddy's scrubs. Besides, I don't want to get black scrubs. I'll feel like the angel of death. Ma elbowed me away from the rack and sifted through the scrubs at top speed. Flick, 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 stop. Try this on. She shoved a lilac top into my hands. It's the only extra small. Lilac? I trudged towards the fitting room. I'd rather be the angel of death. I swung open the fitting room door. The biggest, most hideous, most lilac, most unflattering scrubs draped from my limbs. The pants' elastic waist sat just below my ribs like mom jeans and ballooned out around my butt also like mom jeans. The extra foot of fabric at the bottom of the pants crumpled around my ankles. I looked like a mauve MC Hammer. Ma whipped her hand to her mouth to muffle a giggle. Sorry, baby. I asked someone who works here and she said that's their only pair of extra smalls, Ma said. You're out of luck. A blonde girl in a red polo shirt peeked around a rack of hoodies. How is everything? She squeaked. Awful, I grumbled. We're fine, Ma nodded. Did you find everything all right? The middle-aged woman at the cash cooed at us as she rang up my nasty, ugly scrubs. I opened my mouth to answer, and Ma elbowed me. Yes, thank you, Ma smiled. The woman slid the lilac mess into an orange Mark's Work warehouse bag and held up a little orange card. I'm giving you this discount card. She swooped the card right into our faces. The next time you buy scrubs here, it'll be 10% off. Oh, great, 10% off more ugly crap, I muttered. The woman's eyebrows leapt up as she dropped the card in the bag. Oh, lovely, Tamara. Ma passed the bag to me as I stomped through the sliding doors out to the parking lot. Really, really lovely. No, Ma, you know what's lovely? I waited for her to catch up. Showing up for your first day of work wearing lilac.
That was Tamara Chandon reading her story, Scrubs. Let's listen to Chandon's next story, Baloo.
Baloo, by Tamara Chandon. Don't get upset, I lectured my reflection in the bathroom mirror. Don't get grossed out. I checked myself out in my new lilac scrubs. I looked heinous. It was time for my first training shift at Elmbrook. Ask lots of questions. Don't cry if something bad happens. I pulled my long brown hair back into a ponytail. Ready to go? Ma called upstairs. Hi, Tamara. Sarah, the veterinary assistant, met me by the reception desk. I guess I'm kind of training you today. This is treatment. Sarah led the way into a big, bright, and loud room. Cats and dogs whimpered from metal cages that lined the walls, stacked two rows high. Metal exam tables scattered through the room butted up against square white pillars. A few people in lab coats and bright-colored scrubs puttered around the big room, checking clipboards hung on kennel doors and peering in at the animals inside. It smelled like pee and alcohol. So what exactly do we do? I asked. Sarah pointed to a clipboard on a counter near us. Those are all the cleaning duties. That's what you do in your spare time. Otherwise, take dogs out for a pee, change kennels when they get soiled, feed everyone on time, restock supplies when they get low, and also restraints. Yeah, about restraining, I felt nervous just talking about it. I didn't want my face ripped off by an angry dog or cat, especially a cat. Can you show me how to restrain? I have no idea how to do that, I said. Sarah, a vet tech called from across the room. She stood by an exam table, a black and white curly-haired dog in her arms. Let's go help Angela. Sarah ran over and spread a clean pink towel over the exam table. One of you restrain, please. Angela slid open a drawer and gathered supplies. You say you're good with dogs, right? Sarah said to me. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Sarah showed me how she bear-hugged the dog with one arm and headlocked him with the other. Go ahead, your turn. She stepped out of the way. All right. I sucked in a big breath and tried to look cool and calm. He's a nice dog, right? I sidled up next to the exam table. Angela nodded and scratched under his chin. Baloo's a great guy. Okay, Baloo. I wrapped one arm around his chest and the other around his neck. Good, Sarah nodded. If he squirms, hug harder and talk to him gently. I've got to go help Dr. Dave with something. Are you okay here? We're fine, Angela waved her away. She tore open packages of needles and things I didn't recognize and arranged them on the exam table in front of her. I hugged Baloo against my chest while Angela inserted an IV catheter into Baloo's front leg. I tried not to watch. We're done, Angela said. What an excellent boy. She nuzzled Baloo's nose and rubbed his ears. Yes, yes, you are. I let Baloo out of my bear hug. I did it. My first restraint. No problems. I felt amazing. So what's he here for? I massaged behind Baloo's ears with my thumbs. Angela checked his chart again. Euthanasia. Take him back to his owners. They're in room 9. She flipped to the second page of the chart. My hands trembled behind Baloo's ears. It's my first day, I stuttered. My face burned hot. They're going to kill Baloo, I thought. I can't do this. I can't be there. My heart slammed against my ribs. I looked up at the ceiling and blinked tears away. Don't cry on your first day, I yelled in my head. Baloo leaned against me. My hands clutched at his fur. You don't even know him, I thought to myself. Don't cry. Angela glanced up from the clipboard. No, no, you won't be there for the euthanasia. No, don't worry. Just take him to his owners and tell them the vet will be there soon. We wouldn't do that to you on your first day, she chuckled and walked away. I didn't feel better. I had to take him to his owners? What the hell would I say? Why didn't anyone prepare me for this? Where was Sarah? I turned around to see her disappear down the back hallway, walking a golden retriever. I gathered Baloo up in my arms. He rested his chin on my shoulder. We left treatment and trudged down the hall that opened into the exam rooms. I stopped. I stood alone with Baloo in the cold, white hallway. I don't know what I'm doing, I said as I buried my nose in Baloo's neck. I've never done this before. I'm scared. I took a slow breath and fought tears from dripping out of my eyes. I want you to know, I whispered with Baloo pressed to my heart. You are very, very loved. I'm so sorry. My heart stampeded in my chest. I walked past room 7. I walked past room 8. We reached room 9. Baloo's owner spotted me through the long, narrow window in the door. They pulled it open. I stepped inside. Hi. My face felt really, really red. A gray-haired woman leaned her back against a wall. She dabbed her red eyes behind her glasses with a tissue. A gray-haired man sat slumped in a chair by the door. He stared at the floor with red eyes. Deep breaths. Don't cry. Don't cry. Do not cry, I repeated in my head. I placed Baloo on the exam table. Just say it, I thought. Just say that the vet will be here soon and go. We had his euthanasia scheduled for Monday. The woman's voice quivered as she came over to smooth the curls on Baloo's head. He sniffed at her hand. She sighed a long sigh that shuddered at the end. We scheduled it for Monday, but he woke up today and lost his mobility. The woman fought to control her voice. He can't walk, the man behind me stuttered. He couldn't even go outside this morning. It's hard, I bit my lip. It's hard on them when they're in pain. The woman dropped her face into her palms. We had 2 more days, she blurted. Her back shook. He's a good dog, the man coughed. My eyes blurred. I sucked in a deep breath. Baloo licked at the tape on his leg. The woman sobbed. The man squeezed his eyes shut. The fluorescent light buzzed overhead. Baloo rested his head on his paws. I backed towards the door. Okay, I whispered. I opened the door as softly as I could. The vet will be with you soon. My voice faded out at the end. I treaded down the hall back to treatment. Sarah showed me where the vacuum was and showed me how to reset a beeping IV pump and showed me how to restrain a cat, but I didn't want to do it. I walked a German Shepherd and carried his IV bag along with us. I hand-fed a brown and white kitten named Moses, and we bagged and labeled a dead newborn kitten that had no name. I vacuumed and mopped the floor twice. I watched all the emergencies bust in through the door. Blocked urethra, dogfight, seizure, choking, ear infection, vomiting. I spritzed green Quatzel cleaner over an exam table and wiped it clean with white paper towels. Drops of red blood and brown betadine spattered across my new lilac scrubs. I checked the clock on the wall above the sink. 2 more hours. Tamara, can you get me a can of AD? Angela pointed to an empty can of dog food on the counter while she wrestled a Jack Russell Terrier into his kennel. Yep, no problem, I yawned. I dragged my feet towards the back hallway. I stepped around a wide pillar and stopped. Baloo lay on the exam table in front of me. 2 sticker ID labels sat on the table beside him. He lay still. I stepped closer. I reached out and combed my fingers through Baloo's black and white curls. Baloo lay still. You're gone, huh? I whispered. You're gone, Baloo. You left. Baloo lay still. Dr. Dave breezed past me. Let's toss that guy in the freezer before he starts to stink. You got labels? He peered into a kennel at a gray cat. Yeah, I got labels. I stuffed Baloo's labels into the pocket of my sweaty, stained scrubs. I'll move him out of here. I gathered Baloo into my arms again and hugged him tight. I tried to remember all the steps Sarah showed me in necropsy. "Hurry back, Tamara," Sarah yelled from the other side of treatment. "Everyone needs to go out for a pee." I carried Baloo down the long back hallway to the room with the two white freezers. "You still feel like a dog," I whispered.
That was Tamara Chandon reading her story, Baloo. Now let's hear the last story tonight. It's titled Morgan.
Morgan by Tamara Chandon. Zoe Bird! I pounced on my sleeping beagle on the beige living room couch. She blinked at me and went back to sleep. I rescued Zoe from an animal research facility. For the first 2 years of her life, she lived in a cage with a wire floor in a room with five other beagles who howled and howled and howled and howled. Big Bear. I pulled at Zoe's floppy ears. Zoe grumbled. "Oh, you're cranky, Beag." I backed off and let Zoe doze. "But you're still the bestest beagle that ever lived." I put on my green scrubs, packed some food, left Zoe snoring on the couch like a slug, and power walked to Elmbrook. "Tamara?" Dr. Jess spotted me when I walked into work. "Hi, what's up?" "You're going to vacuum and mop today, right?" Dr. Jess flashed me her teeth in a fake smile. She crammed her hands into the tiny pockets of her two small black polyester pants and bounced up and down on her toes. Her blonde ponytail swung around as she bounced. Yep, I nodded. "I always do." "Well, we didn't get this place vacuumed or mopped at all today." Dr. Jess said it like it was my fault. Her fake smile melted into a disappointed look. "Okay," I shrugged. "Like I said, I always vacuum and mop, so I will vacuum and mop today." "And you'll make sure everyone goes out for a pee when they need to?" Dr. Jess picked lint off the sleeve of her lavender blouse. Yep, that's another thing I always do." I tried not to sound or appear annoyed. Dr. Jess was an idiot, but she was also the head vet. Dr. Yannick told me the week before that Dr. Jess was head vet only because nobody else would do it. "Okay, great, Tamara." Dr. Jess's face split open into that fake smile again. "Thanks so much." She strolled back to her computer and plopped down into her chair. Pee and poo-soaked blankets filled the dirty laundry cart at the back of treatment. I dove for the cart and ran it to the laundry room way in the back of the hospital. I needed to hide from Dr. Jess and her dumb questions. I held my breath and threw the dirty laundry into the giant washing machine as fast as I could without splashing pee on myself. That never really worked. I pulled a clean load of towels out of the dryer. Zap! The dryer always jolted my hands with massive static shocks. I used handfuls of dryer sheets in every load, but still, every time that I reached into that dryer, zap, 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 zap. I tried to devise a new, more intelligent, and more efficient way of folding towels. I tried my first idea, a lengthwise fold followed by a flip-down fold the other way. I placed the towel on the counter. Zap. "Tamara to treatment! Tamara to treatment!" The hospital intercom crackled. Tamara to treatment never meant anything good. It never meant, "We have $20 for you," or, "We need you to babysit this puppy for the rest of your shift." It meant, "There is poo everywhere," or, "Restrain this angry octopus," or, "I spilled some water on the floor, so I need you to mop the giant room in its entirety because I am an asshole." I lied. Once, I got called to treatment during a night shift, and I thought, "No, this is going to suck." And you know what? Angela had called me to treatment because she found an ice cream cake in the freezer and we were all going to eat it. But that definitely only ever happened once. Tamara to treatment! I left my electrified towels and dragged myself to treatment. Dr. Dave stood by the sink, washing his hands. He was shorter than me and bragged to everybody about his intense karate training. Muscly arms bulged out of the sleeves of his blue scrub top. "There you are." Dr. Dave shut off the taps and shook his hands into the sink. "Can you go get the beagle from room 6? "Beagle?" I squealed, because this crap shift was about to get awesome. "Yeah, go get him, please." I zoomed out of treatment. I busted into room 6 to get the beagle. I threw the door open. My grin collapsed. The room was quiet. A beagle lay on the exam table. Dead. I stared at it. I had never seen a dead beagle before. "Shit," I sighed. The beagle lay on the cold metal exam table, resting his muzzle on his front paws. One brown velvet ear draped over a speckled white paw. I approached the exam table in the silent room. I fought to breathe deep and slow. I picked up the beagle just like I pick up Zoe. His limp head dropped against my chest. I carried him to treatment, to Dr. Dave working at his computer. "Can I please get labels?" I whispered. "Yep." Dr. Dave clicked around. "There he is. Morgan." 2 ID stickers printed from a small printer on the desk. Dr. Dave ripped them off and turned around to hand them to me. I stared at the square gray tiles on the floor. "You okay?" Dr. Dave asked as he put the labels into my hand. "I have a beagle," I said. "Oh, it's hard when it's one of yours, huh?" Dr. Dave reached out and stroked the top of Morgan's paw. "I have 2 goldens at home, and every time that I have to euthanize a golden, it's really awful." I nodded. "Yeah, well, what can you do?" I smiled a weak smile. We said that a lot around the hospital. What can you do? Someone threw a kitten against a wall. What can you do? A sweet old chow chow died of heart failure. What can you do? A beagle lover is holding a dead beagle. What can you do? I took Morgan to necropsy. I walked down that hallway as slow as I could. My old shoes squeaked on the clean floors, and the radio hummed over the intercom, and back in treatment, a blocked IV pump wailed. Morgan lay heavy against my chest, his head tucked under my chin. I stepped into necropsy. I stared at the 2 giant white freezers. I stood in the middle of the room with Morgan in my arms. My hands and knees shook. "Okay," I said. "Okay." I laid Morgan down on the counter. I walked over to the door. I closed it. I snapped off the light. I sat down on the cold gray tiles, my back against the door, and cried.
That was Tamara Chandon reading her story, Morgan. And that concludes Life Rattle number 1301. Glenn James recorded Tamara Chandon reading her stories. My name is Virginia Ashbury. Life Rattle is produced from Toronto and was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen.